Good afternoon. Welcome to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dennis Patuas. Blabbermouth is Dawn Del Greco. No Mike is John Perry. And we're talking about issues about getting older, healthy aging, intelligent aging, lessons for life. We are brought to you by Comfort Keepers, where we assist you in establishing or maintaining a quality of life. And one of the things that we try to encourage you to do is to use it or lose it. And by that, I'm referring to brain training, cognitive training, that is becoming or has become very much a topic of conversation. And with the advent of computerized programs, has become very popular and everybody seems to have one, but we have the best. With us today is Lori Contadino. She's a gerontologist and she has over 25 years experience in the field. She has a Master of Science degree in gerontology and
Thanatology.
Now, did you find out what thanatology is, Dawn?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did, Dennis. I was hoping you were going to ask me that question.
Okay, and what did you find out?
It's actually for end of life, that correct? Grief and end of life. Yeah. Issues.
I'd never heard the term. I know of the practice, but not the term.
And I actually did look it up.
Good. Okay. I was wondering if you were. That was a test.
I know. And I'll get you back with interest on that one, Dennis.
And Lori Contadino is a staff gerontologist with the River House, which is in Greenwich, and it's the Adult Day Center, is a new facility that has relocated, and Lori runs
the Mastermind program.
And prior to that, Lori was the manager of the Greenwich Hospital Center for Healthy Aging. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dawn, I'll give it to you to start. You had a number of questions, but we're talking specifically about a program that Lori has developed called the Mastermind.
And it's a wonderful development. I actually went to an introductory two-hour class, and it's the safest atmosphere to be, and it's lovely. River House, when you walk in, has a beautiful view of a lake that you think you're actually in New Hampshire. And Lori's personality and introduction with this class, you just ease into really figuring out how to continue to keep your mind growing and keeping it fit. But more importantly, as we get older, we get concerned about this and concerned about memory. And what is the cause for our concern?
Well, I have to say that concerns about memory loss are no longer reserved just for later life. Those of us in midlife have already experienced those moments where we can't bring to mind a specific word or the name of the restaurant that we so enjoyed about a month ago, or we rush into a room only to find that we can't remember why we're there and have to go back to our original point of origin for a clue or a cue. So memory is something that is this universal phenomenon that concerns us all, and everyone is worried of the ultimate disease state in later life. But there are so many normal age-related changes that folks are not aware of, and it's important to share that information to alleviate some of the concerns and the fears that people have, and there are many.
On the humorous side, I find that I get halfway up the stairs at my house and have to return back down again.
So
there's actually some physical fitness that's going along with mm-hmm. it. There's been a lot of publicity lately about brain training and its effect on forestalling dementia. What is brain training exactly? How does it work?
Well, brain training is exercise for the brain, the same way that exercise for the physical body would enhance physical muscle, brain training would enhance your mental muscle.
Now, with weight training, for instance, or physical mm-hmm. training, we all remember the muscle-bound beach body mm-hmm. that turned to flab years later because mm-hmm. of the failure to right. keep that up. Is that something that happens with memory training?
No. You know, let's look at this in terms of much more empowering point of view. If you utilize your mental capacity to its fullest, your cognitive reserves, if you exercise your mental muscle, your ability to maintain a certain quality in your life is going to be enhanced. If you are one of those couch potatoes that just wants to sit there and take in information via the television, what you're able to do and what you're able to remember is going to be diminished.
So a one-way street.
Right.
Again, it's back to use it or lose it and interaction.
Right. Or, you know, if you reframe that and say use it and improve it is a much more positive spin.
Mm-hmm. I admit, actually, after attending your program, I changed my attitude about some things that challenge me, and we've been joking around with a computer because mm-hmm. that's something that I always have a lot of difficulty with, but also looking at stretching my environment to other topics that I have not been as well educated about or is interested in as besides. Now, with the Mastermind program, how did this evolve? How did this become developed?
I was retained by GADC Riverhouse to research brain training programs with the objective of creating a unique program for Riverhouse. And it took me about a year of research into existing programs, visiting programs, and there really was no model that existed throughout the state of Connecticut or in New York for a facilitated group brain training program. And it was the synthesis of my research and, I guess, coupled with my personality that gave birth to the Mastermind program that Riverhouse now offers.
Now, I think some of your graduates are still staying connected with each other. Is that correct?
Yes. There's a lot of secondary gains to participating in a class such as this. You know that I teach a class for the well elderly and then for folks in the early stages of diagnosed dementia or have memory deficits due to stroke. So what's happened is that, as you know, the peer group diminishes as one gets older. So social connectedness is a secondary gain to the brain training program. They're expanding their peer group. They're looking forward to this one-hour session once a week as another appointment. It's a safe place to forget, especially those that have a diagnosis. You know, we never talk about disease states. We just, you know, have a good time. I forget a lot of things, and I share everything that I forget. And it somewhat normalizes everyone's experience. And the friendships that are engendered are really something that we knew, but it was not to the extent that it's happened. In fact, those in my diagnosed group, I have some folks from the original class that I taught 2 years ago that are still with me, that want to stay together. There's five people that want to stay together at the same time to make certain that they go through this journey together with me. So that, I think that's very positive.
Now, you have two distinct groups that you are dealing with,
yes.
And the well elderly would be the worried elderly as well.
The
in
worried
some cases,
well, the worried elderly. Well. Yes, we have a lot of names for them. And these are just older adults experiencing normal age-related changes, and they're concerned about it. And maybe we should talk a little bit about what's normal.
I was going to say forgetfulness is normal, and I've often equated forgetfulness to 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. So why should our brains be any different? But we do need a way to keep them moving, and I think mental stimulation, whether it's reading the newspaper, engaging in debate, doing challenging puzzles, choosing different routes to drive, all have a utilization of our brain activity.
Sure, there's a brain benefit to all of those activities that you described. It's important to understand, though, that as we age, there's a slower processing of information, which means that we can still learn new things. We can even have mastery over complex tasks, but it takes us a little bit longer to learn it. But once it's learned, we have the same degree of mastery as our younger counterparts. We have a diminished ability to multitask. Our attention span is not as keen or as focused as it once was, so that focused attention is something that we have to strive and practice. It just doesn't come naturally any longer. There's changes in perhaps our ability to be flexible. Perhaps we've adopted some attitudes throughout the lifespan that lend to some rigidity later in life. And those are those deeply entrenched routines, or I like to call them sometimes ruts. So there's an exploration sometimes of what is your routine, and are you in a rut, and are you amenable to changing some things? And even that is very positive in the long run. Now, there's changes in the chemical structure of the brain, or there's some brain shrinkage or loss of brain cells. But if you look at other physical factors that can impact memory, you look at hypertension, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, thyroid disorder, alcoholism, smoking, depression, infections. I mean, it's a wonder we can remember anything.
That's true. I had seen a video in preparation for this interview that referred to a British study of bus drivers and taxi cab drivers. And I thought it was very interesting because they were looking at the expansion of memory capability. Did you see the video?
I did.
What was it that was, I know it was frontal lobe related activity, but it diminished with the bus driver who had a prescribed route that he he took day after day after day. And actually, it got smaller, whereas the taxi driver was always challenged by where he had to go and how to get there. And their abilities expanded. So that has to be exercise. That has to be cognitive training of some sort. If that works for a taxi driver, why wouldn't challenging mental tasks work for all of us?
And they do. And they do.
I just remember the first time in geometry when they had the fox, the chicken, and the corn, and they had to cross the river. And the cab driver, same thing. And you mentioned this actually with the class I attended of changing your route.
And I forgot to say that we have to take a break because we're up on time. So we're going to come back on the other side, and we're talking to Lori Contadino about memory training. Be right back.